ladies, gentlemen, everyone else. It's the time you've all been waiting for months now. We've not been doing this to get you sort of thirsty for more. It's mainly just that we're a bit busy with ourselves. We're a bit, that sounds like masturbation.
Well,
it's not. Well, there's been some of that going on. Anyway, basically, we're back. So, welcome to the Spooky Park Bench podcast. My name is Michael James Sim. I am a photographer, commercial photographer, based in the United Kingdom, Oxford specifically. And over the Atlantic Ocean is my best friend in the whole wide world. It's Christopher Sturm.
Hey there, Mike. It's been far too long. I've missed you.
I've missed you. I mean, we stay in touch. We talk. Mm-hmm. We do personal conversations.
This is a special thing. This podcast is my most unique relationship with another human being because we've still yet to meet in person.
Yep.
We've known each other for a couple of years now. We are intimately aware of each other's lives and bodies. And
it's kind of like a prison relationship.
Yeah, it's kind of like we've both been in separate prisons and we have visits with each other via the prison system.
I think more than likely it would be me that would be in prison and you'd be writing me love letters because you'd seen my crimes in the news.
Yeah, but also it's a good chance that I would be in prison. I think there is maybe an equal chance that either of us would be locked up.
What would your crimes be?
God,
you'd be like a white collar criminal.
No, it would be something like I would be angry and enraged and thirsty for some sort of justice that only a vigilante would be caring about. I would do something stupid in the name of vigilante justice and I'd end up in prison. Like I would see on TikTok that someone got taken advantage of by their landlord or something. And then I'd go find that landlord and break their leg or something. It'd be like that. Because I see that stuff on TikTok all the time.
You've got a bit of a kick-ass vibe to you.
Kind of a spazzy teenager who wants to, who naively wants to dispense justice as a vigilante. I can see that, yeah.
I think that's okay. That's cool.
Vigilante
justice has a place. I think I'd probably be in prison for something really stupid like
jaywalking.
That's not a crime here.
Only in the US. And it's actually got a racist background, but we won't get into that.
For me, it would just be something like I'd forget to do something important and then pay something or
you go down the wrong road and accidentally drive the work van onto a ferry and then you can't get it off and it ends up somewhere else.
It would be something horrifically mundane that I'd be embarrassed about in prison and I'd have to make something else up and I'd end up telling them something like, oh no, I like murdered this guy because he beat up his girlfriend. And then they'd say, how long have you got? And I'd say, well, 4 weeks.
So they're going to be like, something doesn't add up here. I like how we've agreed that I'm in jail for vigilante justice. You're in jail for losing the work van. And that's those are our crimes.
Yeah. That's basically it.
I believe it. I believe it. Cool. what's new?
What's new with me? I mean, photography wise, I've been doing next to nothing. So that really, I'm not too entirely sure I can justify my presence on this podcast.
We're in the same exact boat. Since opening the lab, I have done absolutely no work. It's been really difficult.
This came out.
Oh, that's right.
Nice. The cookbook I photographed.
I'm going to order one. I really want one because it looks incredible. So for those of you who can't see, which is all of you.
Photographs are beautiful.
Mike photographed a cookbook for a restaurant in the UK. What is it called again?
Brother Marcus.
And it's incredible work. I'm not just saying that because you're my friend, but incredible food photography. The vibes are immaculate. The book looks like it was put together really well. Seems like you had a blast.
it's like a proper book and everything. Like, there's like big stores in the UK and it's like sits on tables in them and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I'm so proud of you. That's so awesome.
Thanks, man. So I did what most people do is they get a nice bit of momentum going. Like, they do a really, really big, good job.
And then fell asleep.
And then just basically stop doing anything.
Literally my life, so, yeah.
Yeah, so I've not done any of that. I keep having inclinations to do various project things, but, you know, work and life gets in the way. So, you know, I'm getting there. I feel like I'm about to settle in life-wise into a new sort of era. I think some people call it adulthood.
You've been dealing with adulthood for a while, but you're kind of settling into a new routine, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I've been dealing with big stuff for a while, and it's all sort of dealt with now. And so it's, I'm sort of just settling into other bit, like, you know, I'm settling into mundanity again, which is a welcome relief. So yeah, a bit of
that. You got new glasses?
Nope.
Are these the same glasses? Why do they look different on you right now?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit thinner. I hope I'm a bit thinner.
Maybe you did lose some weight. You're looking good. I'll say that.
I had a big beard and I shaved that off.
You did have a big beard. I'm glad you shaved it down to where it is now. I think this tighter, you know, cleaned up beard look is better.
Yeah, my girlfriend was distraught when I shaved my beard, which always makes me a bit upset because you think, well, this is just my actual face.
Yeah, no one likes anyone's face. I think my girlfriend would like me more if my face was covered mostly with hair as well.
But you can't, you know, you've got to just deal with it. This is my actual, like, people, a girl say to you, well, what if I got all my hair cut off? I'm like, well, it's a bit different because
you're changing. Jackie just did that. She cut her hair really short and she's like oh, I look ugly. And I'm like, you don't, you look great, but it's a different look, but you're not used to it, you know?
Yeah, but a beard literally covers half your face. So like it's once basically that goes,
wearing a mask. Yeah.
It's like wearing a mask half the time, you know?
My drummer, Ryan
Ross. My drummer. Who are you? Mick Jagger?
My drummer Ross and my band that's not technically on it's kind of like on hiatus. It's not really, it's in flux. Doesn't matter. Anyway, he's always had a beard. And then one time while he was working in San Francisco, some people came in to the place he was working and said, hey, do you want to model for this Japanese fashion magazine? And he was like, sure. So they paid him and they asked him to shave his beard. So I had to shave it off. And he looks so jarringly different without a beard. It was frightening to a degree.
The thing I noticed most was it looked like the gap, the space from my bottom lip to the bottom of my chin when I shaved my beard off was like 2 millimeters. Because when you have a long beard, you've got another 4 inches on your chin. So when you shave it off, I felt like a filter, like a sort of Snapchat filter. Snapchat? People use Snapchat?
I don't know. I haven't had a Snapchat in a couple of years.
I'd never had it. I just use.
I think the kids have reclaimed it, sort of. I feel like if you're an adult and you still use Snapchat, you're kind of a weirdo. I'm not judging anybody. Well, I am. I'm judging you. If you're an adult, if you're like fully into your like late 20s and you still use Snapchat, you are suspect in a way.
Yeah, to me. I mean, I'm, you know, just under 2 years away from being 40, so I can't.
Brother.
I'm even at the like. Am I young enough to have a podcast?
I feel like podcasts should not be allowed to be published until you've been making a podcast for a certain amount of time or you're a certain age, because I feel like a lot of the podcasts that I come across nowadays who are like younger guys talking about stuff, it's just circular conversations about nothing or about like Andrew Tate style stuff or like, or like, hey man, did you ever notice that like on the first date when you're like trying to fuck a girl and she's like not into it, like what's that about? That's like the conversation. It's like, what are these people? Are these real people?
I find that phrasing very difficult to listen to. So apart from me doing like nothing, you've actually been immersed though in photography. You haven't been shooting anything, but you have been immersed in photography.
I've been on the I guess like you can say production side. I've been, you know, I opened my film lab and we haven't had a pod since I opened the lab. So we haven't been able to discuss it at all.
You and I have discussed it in private quite a lot, but that's of no use to anybody, is it? Who cares? I mean, what's the point in having a discussion if no one else hears it?
That's true. And I mean, what's the point of having a life if not everyone can watch it as if it were a movie?
Exactly.
What we talked about, I mean, to kind of bring everyone up to speed, Mike and I had this idea last year. I think it was actually born from your idea in the first place, was to open a coffee shop / dark room or film lab together in England.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to open a film lab here in Milwaukee first to prove the concept, to do some research, to like see how it all works and like get that all going. And then we'll take what I learned from here.
A very serious business call that also included Kyle McDougall.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah, that was. I forgot about that. And then, so I did it. I opened it in March of this year, and that's what I've been doing. Instead of shooting film, I've been processing everyone else's film, and it's been cool because everyone, you know, people in Milwaukee are very happy that it's here because there isn't anything else very close by or downtown that you can get your film processed at. So that's been cool. So a lot of locals are happy about it. And then like 75% of my film business has been from out of state. So I'm getting a lot of people sending me their film too, which is
nice.
Crazy. I didn't think that would happen. So yeah,
that's
what I've been doing. I've shot maybe one roll of film since starting and it was nothing.
What happens though. I keep having ideas and then, you know, it falls by the wayside.
Yeah.
Because, you know, is this the end of the podcast now? Just like, we're done because
and
we don't have anything else. Yeah,
no,
pretty much.
No, we have to. Well, what?
So give me some lab updates then. Come on.
So lab updates. Here we are with the lab. So turns out I'm a terrible businessman or I have no business being a businessman because I don't like that side of things. It's actually been really difficult running this lab because I don't have a business background. I'm not organized in the way that you would be if you were a true business person, trying to run a business that was profitable. You know, my whole idea when I first started the lab was to make this as affordable as possible. I wanted it to be accessible and affordable. And then I had to adjust my prices because I was undercutting myself like crazy. Turns out I'm still undercutting myself because I have this fear of bringing the prices up to a level that's going to be sustainable because I don't want to exclude anybody from being able to have their film processed here. But it's also shooting myself in the foot. But that's why I'm not a business person. That's why I don't run businesses because I don't have the cutthroat, you know, attitude necessary to be like, too bad. This is what it is. Deal with it. You know, it allows businesses to thrive. And then
it's that general photographer conundrum as well, though, isn't it? When you're quoting in general,
I think in creative pursuits, it's very similar across the board as far as like how to price yourself to attract customers, but not to undercut yourself so much that you're starving. And then also, you know, not pricing people out where someone says they want to use you, but then you give them your prices and they're like, oh, never mind. And then you feel like you're losing out on business. So and I've also found while doing this that I am much more of a creative person than a organized, business-minded person, which you can be both. There are people out there I know who are both, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a business-minded person. So I really enjoyed processing film. I found that I don't enjoy scanning film as much only mm-hmm. because everyone is, you know, scans are so subjective. Everyone wants scans a certain way. But because it's just me, I'm a single person. I can't provide the bespoke scanning process to everyone because I just don't have the time to do that. And so what I try to do is I scan everything as neutral as possible, or I scan things with my bias, which is like, oh, if it's Fuji, I want it to be a little bit warmer in the greens and I want, you know, to look Fuji. If it's Kodak, I want it to be a little tad warmer overall with a little more emphasis in the orange and the reds, you know? So I'm putting my own experience and bias into it. Whereas I think someone who is a seasoned scanning tech who's worked at the lab would have processes and workflows that are more attuned to like an experience that would benefit a wider range of people.
Yeah.
So I've been struggling with that like a ton, but you know, the processing side of things I really enjoy. I never had a problem with that. It's always been enjoyable. So I have that down to a pretty good science. So that part's okay. I just wish I could hire somebody to come in and scan for me, but again, I'm undercutting myself price-wise, so I can't pay anybody. And so the consequence of that is I have a lot of work. I'm about 3 days behind on film right now, scanning conversions and stuff, just because I have so much film in here. So I've been under a great amount of anxiety about this. But last week we talked about this a little bit. Last week I decided, after much thought and much discussing with Jackie and talking to friends and stuff, that I'm going to be closing the lab down for good, because I don't think in the current iteration it's sustainable. And yep. I don't want to get to a point where I'm delivering less than quality products to my customers. I also just don't want to do this business side stuff. I just hate it. It makes me tired. It's too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also don't want to try to hire somebody for less than a living wage to help me, because I just can't ethically do that. There's a lot going on with like my personal life. You know, I'm not making any money here. So my girlfriend's having to take up, you know, most of the responsibility, the bills and stuff, which I'm not super comfortable with. And it's just not fun. I just don't like seeing her working so hard and being so tired and not being able to catch up with what she wants to do. And it just kind of sucks. And so I want to be there for her too. So I'm kind of like, I'm at a place where I can keep working at this, and maybe in a year we'll be in a place where it's like good, but I don't have that time really. At least not without blowing up my relationship or, you know, burning out and completely. So it's going to close.
But I think, you know, as sad as that is, like, you got to do what's right for you in these situations. And I think is often the case with creative pursuits. Something like this is like, there's a romanticism again around it of like, it's going to be me and my lab with my music on doing this and doing that. And you forget about the business side of it. And it's the same with photography, is that like such a small fraction of your time is actually taking pictures.
Oh yeah.
And like with this, like there's business involved. And business, you know, you and I are very similar in lots of ways. And like, I suck at business stuff, which is terrible because I'm a business development manager in my actual job. But I find lots of that stuff really difficult as well. And I think if it's going to eventually cause you, and again, it's the same with photography. It's why I sort of stopped pursuing it as a full-time job, was because it was just causing me anxiety. It was causing me stress, and it was causing me all these emotions that I didn't want associated with a passion of mine.
Yeah. And it's hard because I'm getting to the point where I'm getting a little bit, I mean, it's only been a couple of months, but I'm already a little bit cynical, and I see stuff come in and people spend money to get their film processed. And I'm looking at their film going, did you need to spend money on this at a lab? Because this is not to the level I feel. And that's a bad feeling to think that way, because I guess I'm just realizing too, in film photography, there's a large gap between enthusiasts and new photographers and like people who understand film, or like maybe professionals, or like at least like seasoned enthusiasts. A lot of people expect to send their film to the lab, and then they get it back, and they're going to look exactly how they want it. They forget that, like, hey, if you stick your film in a 30-year-old point and shoot that, you know, has been sitting in a used store for however long, and you just throw a roll of gold through it, it might not be good because a myriad of reasons, but everybody blames the lab first, which is very interesting and funny. But ultimately frustrating, because I can only do so much with what I have. And if I get bad in, it's going to be bad out. So, you know, people, I had someone email me like, hey, it looks like, you know, this film got exposed at the lab. And I'm like, no, you did this sometime before it came to me and I processed it, and now it looks like this because you didn't do the right thing, or you exposed it wrong or something. And I can't take an error that a photographer does and fix it in development. Whatever you did is locked into that film, and I'm just bringing whatever is on that film to life. So that's been really tough. That kind of stuff makes me feel a little bit jaded. But it also makes me realize I don't want to deal with like, I love education. I love teaching people things, but I mean, like, in mm-hmm. the way of like, hey, you're like, hey, how do you, I've never shot 4x5 before, which is something I get a lot in here, because I have my speed graphic set up and people will see it and they're like, oh, I never shot 4x5 before, but I'm really like worried to try it because it seems scary. And I'm like, no way. It's super easy. You just got to know what to do. And then I'm like, I'll show you. Like, that I really enjoy, but I don't like having to educate people on the back end where they get like their film back and it looks bad and they're just like, oh, you fucked up my film. And I have to be like, actually, you know, I don't like having those conversations because I don't like blaming people. I don't like shifting blame. I don't like telling people like they're wrong and being like, here's why you're wrong. Cause that doesn't make me feel superior or better. It makes me feel like
it does.
They're leaving with a bad situation. Well, I do feel common. I mean, every day I feel superior, but I don't want people walking away from this feeling like it didn't go the way they wanted it to. Although people do need to be realistic and realize that, like, hey, this is a living medium. Like, it's not going to be perfect, and if you have that expectation, you're going to be let down every time. So but I don't want to teach people that. I want to teach people cool stuff. I don't want to teach people to minimize their expectations, you know. That sucks.
It's, do you know, I don't think I've ever got stuff back from the lab and blamed the lab. I think I've always got stuff back and always just been like, how did I manage to fuck that up this time?
Well, I think it comes with experience. Like, I've never had somebody who's an experienced photographer get film back from me and go, oh, why does this look like this? Like, good example is Brian Chorsky. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a photographer in LA. He sent me some slide film to process a year or so ago and got it back from me. And, you know, he was just like, there was some stuff on the rolls, I guess, that didn't work out. And he was like, oh, I was hoping these would be cooler. But he was like, hey, great job, man. These look great. Like, can I Venmo you some money? Can I send you something? He ended up like sending me some film and being really sweet about it. But he's been a photographer for a long time, so he understands, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If a lab fucks up, it's very obvious. It's you'll see it. There's indicators. But if you're younger and you don't know, and you're just trying to get involved with film and have a good time, but you don't understand like what a lab can do and can't do, you're not going to have that right expectation. And that's where the problem starts. And that's the only time I've ever had any issues with customers or customer service is when somebody is new and doesn't understand and they get their film back and they're like, hey, this isn't what I expected. And then I have to be like, well, your expectations were insane. And let me tell you why. And so I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't have fun with that.
No, it's rough. But you're keeping the space, right?
Yeah. So I have a 5-year lease on this space. So I think my landlord is cool enough that he would actually let me break the lease if I asked. But my initial thought.
Roller rink.
I'm thinking about putting up battle rink in here so people can come in here and do roller derby. No, it's not big enough for that, unfortunately. It's a very beautiful space with exposed brick and big, big windows and big high ceilings. So I decided to open a daylight studio that you can book. The idea is that, you know, photographers can come through and book it for all sorts of stuff. And it'll be that kind of resource for the area. And I think it'll do pretty well because I won't have to be here all the time for that. I don't have to deal with customers in the same way. And then I can also utilize a space when it's not being booked for other things like workshops. So one of my clients came in and told me, she was like, if you taught like how to process film at home or like how to shoot 4x5 or like if you taught workshops, like I would pay money to come be in those because
totally
I want to learn that stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. So I'm going to come up with a workshop curriculum that I can do regularly throughout the month, which will also be some income. And then, I want to use the space for my YouTube channel. I'm going to start focusing back on the YouTube channel because I've been neglecting it hard because I haven't had time. So, you know, use this as a production space for the YouTube channel. Where also I'm thinking about selling some courses online. As far as like, you know, those same things like the workshops, like instead of having to come to a workshop, if you don't live in Milwaukee, you can pay for, you know, an hour long video. Like Nick Carver does stuff like that, where it's very simple, broken down video of how to do certain things. And I think that'll be, you know, that kind of stuff is very creative. It involves me actually doing creative things, which is what I want to be back to doing. And I mean, if I get to keep the space and if I can rent the space out 2 times in a month, for 2 full days, that'll pay for the rent. So if I can do that, at least, I think I'm good.
Will people be able to rent it with you as the photographer if they wanted to? Would companies be able to do that?
Interesting.
Yeah, yes. You're welcome.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point. Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, I mean, well, I guess what it would be is if some company wanted to hire me to do photography, and then they could also hire the space. Yeah. That would be like a package deal thing. Yeah, I could do that. That'd be cool.
You're welcome.
So I might work on that. Yeah, thank you. See, that's why you're the business development guy.
I forgot. I've done a couple of courses, as in I put it out on Instagram a couple of times. Just does anyone want to learn how to take portraits?
Well, I've had people email me and be like, yeah, stuff like that.
David Bailey.
But that's stuff people want.
Yeah. So I've done a couple of them. It's been really good fun, actually. It's nice to then, the thing I liked about it is having to figure out the stuff that I know that's valuable.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot, but 90% of it's just bollocks that's irrelevant.
Well, like, we should team up.
We should.
We should make Spooky some Park stuff Bench together.
Class.
Because we could technically, we should talk about that. We could do that. But yeah.
Because I found that, like, it's also realizing all the things, I suppose, that make me, I don't want to say it, make me a good portrait photographer.
Allegedly. Can
I
say that?
Am I good? I'm
yeah,
I'm
you are.
Taking,
yeah,
I'm
you
good
are.
I'm good at taking portraits.
You're great. All those ones you did of Benedict a while ago.
The ones of people.
On 4x5, I think.
Yeah.
Those are great.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's then, like, the technical aspect of it is one thing, but it's then getting people to see composition, I suppose, in a way, and how to utilize space. Yeah. And, like, if you and understand that the camera is a sort of just an extension of your eye. And the thing I found that really interesting, I was getting people to come and go outside with me, and I'd be like, right, take a portrait of me right now. And without fail, people are, they just take a picture, like a passport photo.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, there's no communication with me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They're not going low. They're not going high. They're not getting up in my face. They're not interacting with their subject. And like the way I've said to them was that, like, when I'm taking a portrait, the person's borderline irrelevant. I'm looking through I'm looking at shapes, I'm looking at colors, I'm looking at composition. It's only when I remove the camera from my eye that the person in front of me becomes a person again. And I realize that I'm in an actual physical situation with somebody. Prior to that, I'm just in the photograph. So like, I become unaware of the person as a person. And I'm just thinking about the photograph. All I'm seeing is a photograph.
Yeah. I mean, you can really see the difference between taking a snapshot of somebody and an actual portrait. When you look at, like, you know, friend of the pod, Brian Burks, his work, he just recently, one of his portraits was recently chosen for some, Brian, I swear to God, you know, we talked about this when you posted about it, but I forgot what it was chosen for, but I remember saying congrats. You know, the portrait that was chosen was this young man leaning on a truck bed. I believe it's 8x10.
Was that the Lens Culture Portrait Awards?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think it was.
Fucking dick. So we both got shortlisted, me and Brian.
Really? Oh, you did too?
I got shortlisted. Did he fucking win?
No, I think he just announced that he got shortlisted. I don't think they announced the winner yet.
I did too. For a large format portrait.
Well, both of you guys are dicks. Let's see what he says here, Brian.
Yeah, but I don't have a YouTube channel or talk about it, so I'm just modest.
I didn't see it. Well, to be fair, I didn't see it on his YouTube channel because I haven't been watching YouTube a lot lately.
Yeah, I got shortlisted as well because I'm pretty fucking cool.
You are pretty cool.
Thanks,
but yeah, it's the portrait is Travis in Redbud, Illinois, and it was posted in August of 2022. To his Instagram. So if you go look back, it's a guy in a blue t-shirt against a truck, and that's the photo that got shortlisted. So yeah, I mean,
I'll show you. Wait a minute, I'm going to hold mine up as well so you can see what I did, because for anyone that's watching, in fact, we can post it on the YouTube channel.
Yeah,
we can. What's this thing called?
I think I'm going to make a YouTube channel for the Spooky Park Bench so that we can put Spooky Park Bench videos on there.
That's the one I did that got shortlisted. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Didn't that get... That was processed and scanned by... Take It Easy, right?
Easy. It was. The good guys.
Yeah, Take It Easy. One of the best film labs in the freaking world.
Yeah, they did that one for me.
Take It Easy, EQ guy. Here's the thing. Another thing, not to derail this again, another reason why I want to step away from being a lab is because there are so many labs that haven't figured out. Take It Easy Lab in Leeds, Ikigai Film Lab, I think in Melbourne, Indie Film Lab, State Film, Rewind Film Lab. There's so many good guys, labs.
And then Leeds gets a shout out.
Of course. Because they're... What?
Yeah, do you know the band The Kaiser Chiefs?
Oh yeah. Oh, they used to use the bassist used to use the guitar pedal I made, the fuzz pedal I made.
They're the bass. I'm not going to go into the anyway. Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah, they're Peanut from the Kaiser Chiefs is one of the founders Peanut. Yeah, Peanut. He's one of the guys behind Take It Easy Lab.
Did you know that Peanut is also the name of the bassist from the band 311?
No, I did not.
Peanut. Nut.
Cool. I don't even know that band. So
anyway, why I bring those up is because those labs are so fantastic and I really wish I could have joined that pantheon of labs, but I think that they have it figured out in a way that I'm not going to figure out. And I'm happy to have them around, and I'm realizing that I am not contributing in the way that they are.
I think you could. I think it's just a case of not the right time, not the right place kind of thing. You know,
if I were to open a film lab again, it would be with a business partner at least, but it would be with a staff. I'd need to have capital. I'd need to have staff from the get-go because doing it all myself. And I also wouldn't want to be, I'd want to like have a president or something, or somebody who sits in the driver's seat and does all the business decisions and stuff, because I don't want to be that person because I hate it so, so much.
Yeah.
I'd rather be like the guy that hangs out at meetups and the guy who gets his hands in Blix and the guy who does the fun stuff. I don't want to do the business stuff. But anyway, so the lab's closing. It's turning into a photo studio.
One door is closing and a window is opening, or whatever the phrase is.
That one door is closing and then that same door is opening again because it's the same door to the building.
It's literally the same door. What else? We're going to talk about AI, but then I wanted to the other big news that we forgot to mention probably should have mentioned at the top is that Brian Scootmack followed both of us on Instagram.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up because I didn't want it to get back to him and have him think we're freaks, but it happened. And, you know,
I woke up that morning and I looked at Instagram and it said I had a follower, and I looked and it was Brian Scootmack.
Did he follow you first? It was you first, right? And then it was me later.
No, I think you sent me a photo like, "Ayo, look who's following me." And I was like, "Ayo, following me too."
So we regret to announce to everyone, all of our audience, that we are better than you. It's not personal, you know.
It's like when Brian Burks follows you, it's kind of like Jermaine Jackson follows you, and then like Brian Scootmack follows you, and it's like Michael Jackson's following you, but not in like the we're too old for him to follow, and he's dead. But you know what I mean. I'm talking about grades of fame. And
I will say this: before I knew Brian Burks personally, before we got to know each other, and before he was on the pod, I had a similar feeling when he followed me. I was like, "Oh my god, this fucking guy, Brian Burks, he's following me on Instagram." Like, "Oh my god," because I think I hold him in the same esteem.
Listen, no offense to Burks, right? You know, he's a lovely guy. I think he could take me in a fight, despite the fact he's a shorts and polo shirt guy. I think he could take me in a fight.
He's also a married man. I don't know if he's.
Doesn't mean he doesn't fight. I mean, fucking look at Ike Turner.
He's a lover, you know. Ike Turner, comparison.
Yeah, but I'm saying that
Tina Turner. Turner died this year.
What I'm trying to say is that he was married and a fighter. These things happen, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
Conor McGregor, married fighter, also another prick.
Oh my god, he's gonna find you, dude. He lives over there.
No, he doesn't. Wait, does he? He doesn't live in.
I think he's from the UK. Well, he doesn't live in Oxford, but he also has a lot of money. Where's he from?
Oh wait, is he Northern Irish or Irish?
I don't know. The whole thing's the UK to me, I'll be honest. I know it's very contentious over there. Like, there's very specific lines and wars have been fought.
I'm not getting into it.
Don't get into it.
No, I've basically avoided the news in general recently because it's too much of a hot potato.
Oh, is the news a little too much for you? Have you been following the US news? Have you been following the aliens apparently that exist? That
no, it's probably but,
just
I mean,
a distraction.
Is Joe Biden not fucking being controlled by JFK, who's still alive, or something
right,
like
that's
that?
Right. I forgot about that. JFK Jr. is controlling Biden, and then Trump is actually the sitting president.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a shadow president, but yep. Biden's controlling inflation and unemployment and taxes.
All the bad stuff.
Right, and Trump is doing all the good stuff, which is...
Yep.
That makes sense.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. Yeah. That's how the prime minister in the UK works too, because Boris is still the sitting prime minister, shadow prime minister.
Yeah.
And then who's the new one?
Rishi Sunak.
Yeah. He's just a puppet being controlled.
I mean, he is about the size of a fucking puppet. He's a little shitbag as well. But we're not going to go down that route.
We're not.
Speaking of shitbags, though, we're going to talk about, we're going to give a little bit of airtime to the wonders of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I was going to come on because we kept having scheduling issues, and I was just going to come on and do a solo pod just to talk about AI because there was so much.
Fucking head in if you did that. I would have been so fucking angry.
I was trying to strike, you know, when it was hot, you know, but there's been so much
discussion. It's long gone. It's long gone. Like no one gives a fuck about it, but we're going to talk about it.
I guess, you know, I guess my point was just kind of like everyone was freaking out about AI taking over photography, but AI is never going, it's never going to be good enough. It can't drive cars. It can't make videos or photos look photorealistic yet.
No.
And it's also, there's so much training that it needs to be done that even calling it artificial like intelligence is like still a stretch. Yep. It's not really it's just an algorithm that is dynamic, and artificial intelligence should be able to reason. And I don't think anything that we've seen, ChatGPT or any of this shit, I don't think it's able to reason, like truly actually reason.
I think that to me, again, it's just another fucking medium. It's just another way of doing stuff. Like,
yeah,
that's all it is to me. And I'm not going to lie, like the new, what's it called? The generative.
Oh, generative fill on Photoshop?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Sick. That thing is a fucking godsend because.
But it's not really AI though. Because people throw AI around, but like we're so far away from robots who can reason and empathize. Like that's not, we're not there. We're like at a place where it's like, oh, these things can make these really complex calculations and like respond in certain ways, but it's still just reading a script. Okay.
Yeah. Like when I, that generative fill, like I would have spent an hour trying to get rid of a fucking plug socket using the right toning and shadow and everything now.
Yeah.
Give that a week and it's gone and it's perfect. It's great. I'm not going to bemoan that.
Yeah. I think one of my points was that's what we are going to be able to, as creatives, you know, leverage AI in certain ways. It'll be really helpful to us, like something like generative fill. Like we'll be able to use these really powerful tools to help our creative process. But everyone was freaking out about photography being replaced with AI. But like it took them years just to get them to have hands that didn't have weird amounts of fingers. Like they couldn't figure out hands for so long. Like it's not going to happen. And I've seen AI portraits and it looks like a cartoon still.
Yeah. But even if it does, like it's just another medium. It's like, did photography, you know, destroy a drawing? No, like these things still occur. Like,
I mean, did video kill radio? Like, not really. Radio just morphed. Radio's still around, by the way.
Do you know that was the first? That was the first song on MTV. That was the first
video killed the radio star
by the Bugles.
I don't know.
Do you know what the first one was in Europe on MTV Europe?
I would walk 500 miles.
No, it was not. It was Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
Oh, God. There are people these days. A little bit of trivia. Yeah.
A bit of trivia for you.
Interesting that you know that. Yeah. But either way, the point is, I think that what's going to happen, you know, everyone thought that, you know, we were going to be, when the iPhone came out, everyone thought that that was going to be the destruction of the world for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time technology makes like an advancement, everyone freaks out. Creators freak out. When Photoshop first came out, when digital cameras came out, film photographers were like, that's it. Photography's over. Like, we're done.
Until Skynet exists.
Until we can control humans.
Yeah, when Skynet arrives and we need to find our John Connor, who, it wouldn't be me or you, for sure.
It would have already happened, too. We would have already had someone from the future come here at this point.
Good point.
Because we're almost to the singularity, I guess, of technology or whatever.
I'll tell you what. If John Connor doesn't arrive in the next 5 years,
then you'll know that the movies were just movies and not
They were history. Just movies. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
because
I mean the other thing. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I'm cutting you off. I just lost an earphone.
Oh, smart. I was just going to say.
I've got really small ears.
I have big ears. That's why I have these big headphones on. The only thing I was going to say about that was that in the end, human beings are very nostalgic and we are creatures of habit, and we also are slow to adopt things.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that AI is going to take away creators' jobs. I think that they're going to try to automate a lot of other jobs with AI, and I think it's going to be a disaster for workers for a while, but it's also going to be a disaster for corporations because you can't threaten an AI's livelihood and force productivity in a way that you think you can. You know, if it's really can be artificially intelligent and really can reason and do its own thing, maybe the robots are going to revolt against the companies and be like, these working conditions are untenable and working machines.
We're getting down a philosophical track that I can't begin to fathom. So,
yeah, I had better points, but I can't remember them.
I'm quite tired.
Too many things have moved on. Too many things have happened since all the AI stuff and the ChatGPT stuff came out that I have forgotten my discourse on those topics because I'm still trying to wrap my head around, like, was that congressional hearing about aliens real or just a distraction? I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that Mitch McConnell had a stroke during a press conference and no one in the government is like considering like, hey, maybe we shouldn't have these dinosaurs running our country. It's just like, you know, there's too much going on and I can't, and I got to pay rent and gas prices and, my dog needs a haircut.
I often struggle with what ice cream to get.
I haven't had ice cream in a while because
I mean, it's one of these things that you don't have it in ages and then you buy a tub one night and then you eat the whole tub and then the next night you need to buy another and then it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's
you gain 20 pounds.
That's just middle age, isn't it? That's what happens.
God. Yeah, you get to be an adult. You can make your own decisions, and those decisions all turn out to be getting to eat bad food that your parents didn't allow you to eat.
Yeah, and then doing admin. That's kind of it. Oh my God. Do you know what we should do? We should endeavor to, as always, do this more often, but also we should maybe both try and do some photography work between this one and the next one.
I agree.
Even just to
talk about it.
Even just take some pictures.
Yeah.
McDougal and I keep threatening to hang out, and that doesn't ever happen.
You should threaten him with a good time more often because I miss our talk. We need to have him on again because he's just so fun to talk to. But I have film in cameras. That's the thing. I have film that I could just shoot. But again, it's the motivation. And I've seen some stuff around here. There's actually a project I've been working on that I've put on hold about my time here in the Midwest that I want to finish up and then be able to like put together into a project someday. So I got to start shooting that again. And I've been motivated because I've been seeing some stuff around here lately, especially during the summer months where it's it looks a little different and it looks kind of cool. So maybe that'll be something I pursue between now and then.
I've actually got some exposed 4x5 in the fridge as well. It's been in there for like a month. I should really do something about it.
I have a bunch of 4x5 too.
I'm going to take a picture so I can put it on the socials. Like, are you exposed? Sort of. Hold on a minute. Oh, God's sake. You think I know what I was doing by now. There we go. There you are.
Does that look good?
No, not
perfect.
At all.
Perfect.
Okay. Oh, God, I look like I've got my knob out and I'm smiling. It's really strange.
Beautiful. That's what they expect from us.
Hey, look, this is a nice 45 minutes. This is us back in the game, a little warm-up episode. It's nice. I think we've covered some topics, old and old.
We're going to keep doing this. We miss doing this.
Miss doing it. And do you know, part of it is just, it's fucking, it's getting in a routine of not doing something. And then you do the thing and you go, oh, this is why I did that thing. I really like doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been working out lately and I got in a routine of it and it's been really, really positive. Been really good for my mental health, good for my physical well-being. And when I stopped working out last week or the week before, my workout buddy had left. He was in Seattle for something and we didn't work out for the week and I didn't really keep up with our routine. And I felt like, I feel like garbage now. So we got to get back into our routine, but it goes to show if you have good routines and they're good for you, you should keep up with them.
You should do Spooky Park Ben's YouTube channel and we should do like body coach style workouts once a week on the YouTube channel.
I was thinking about doing my, a fitness influencer era. Going to go into that. I'm trying to get my Jeremy Allen White body from The Bear. I'm trying to get his physique down.
Apparently
that's what people like. So I'm going to go. He's pretty shredded. So I got to get
You got to lose. Not that you're carrying like a lot of fat, but you got to lose like a lot.
I
got to
lose quite a bit. I lost about 5 pounds in the last couple months. Or last month of working out, so I can do it if I keep up with it. And I ran 3 miles the other day. Let me tell you, that was hell. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. This was a great conversation. I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we're back.
I'm glad we did this too. I've missed you like a bear misses the rain.
I've missed you like a saute pan misses a sauce mounted with butter.
Yep, good. That's good.
I've been watching The Bear. So
yeah, I'm fucking that. I need to get new ears.
Get these are like $50, the AKGs, and they're so good. They're so comfortable.
Yeah, I mean that's just fucking ridiculous.
I'll send you a pair. How about that?
Yeah, brilliant. No, please don't, because you have no money.
You're right. Fuck. Oh God. Okay. Well,
okay. I love you very much and thanks everyone for listening. We will speak to you all soon. On the next one, we'll get some questions out as well because we like answering questions. It's fun.
We sure do.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. Toodle pip. Lots of love.
Love. Toodle pip. Bye-bye.